This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200-plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Welcome to Healthy Matters, presented by Hennepin Healthcare, a network of neighborhood clinics, specialty centers, hospital, and Minnesota's Level 1 Adult and Pediatric Trauma Center. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during the program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have health concerns. Now, here's Denny Law with your host, Dr. David Hilden, internal medicine physician with Hennepin Healthcare, with more Healthy Matters.
Yes, and good morning. Welcome to a little bit later edition of Healthy Matters. And the reason is we had a special public service show for the last 2 hours that our company, Intercom, requested us to do. But that was a one-time thing. And we're going to be back to normal next week. Normal Dr. Hilden, meaning we'll start the show as we always do, around 7:30 or so.
It was all okay, Denny. I got a chance to drink some coffee here. We got to chat with everybody here in the studio.
Absolutely. And again, back to normal. We appreciate all the calls and text messages. But again, we'll be back to normal next Sunday. Jim Gilbert, everything else.
And we're going to be on a full hour here.
Full hour. We'll be here for this hour and then the Your Money Show for the next full hour, and then it'll be Sports Huddle after that. So that's just a little explanation. Going to be another good show today. A repeat customer here.
You're right, Denny. I do have a repeat guest on the show. Dr. Rawad Nasser is the director of the Division of Rheumatology at Hennepin Healthcare. And HCMC, for those of you who have been around a while, that's who we are. And Dr. Nasser is going to help us out today in talking about a topic, autoimmune diseases. And for some of you, that is immediately ringing a bell because you're thinking, yeah, that's what I have. I have an autoimmune disease. But I'll bet there's a whole bunch of you who heard me say that and don't know what I'm talking about. And so autoimmune diseases is a big topic, and it is things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, vasculitis, and many, many more. Many autoimmune diseases are in the realm of rheumatology, and that's why we have Dr. Nasser here to talk with us. A couple things before I introduce him and get him to start talking. I just wanted to acknowledge a day late, but it is the 50th anniversary of neonatal intensive care at Hennepin.
I read that.
Did you read that? Yeah, it was covered by WCCO. You can go to WCCORadio.com, and Sloan did a thing about it. And we had an event yesterday. But 50 years ago, we started our first newborn intensive care program, and it's still going strong. And there was a great event where kids who were born there were at the event, and their parents were there. And that is an outstanding part of Hennepin's program right here in downtown Minneapolis. And the reason I bring it up is that a lot of people think that we're an emergency department and that's it. Oh boy, that is not the case. Here is one thing that maybe you didn't know about. One of the most skilled and talented neonatal newborn intensive care units celebrating 50 years. Second thing I want to point out is that I've taken a bit of a hiatus from the blog because I was in Africa and I've been re-entering into the country here. But I have put a new blog post up. We're back at myhealthymatters.org. I'm back. Go ahead, read the latest one. It's about alcohol. And the reason that prompted me is that I couldn't turn on any news outlet or read a paper or go online without hearing about the latest study that says that no alcohol is good for you at all, not any. And so I thought, well, oh boy, that's going to be life-changing for a lot of people. So you read my comments on that study. It's at myhealthymatters.org. And go ahead and subscribe by email if you want to get more of those in the future. Myhealthymatters.org. Okay, back to rheumatology. Dr. Rawad Nasser, my good friend and colleague, he's the director of rheumatology. He's running an outstanding program of teaching and education, clinical cares at Hennepin. Thanks for being back on the show, Rawad.
Oh, good morning, David. Thanks for having me back. I'm glad to be back with you.
Rawad's been in the studio. He's been at our 10th, our celebration of our decade with Dave. So many of you met him in person. And he is a rheumatologist, and that means we deal with autoimmune diseases and arthritis and all that kind of stuff. So rather than me talk about that, I'd rather now you. Rawad, what are autoimmune diseases?
Great question, David. You know, autoimmune diseases are interesting diseases, and I think there's a general concept that applies to all of them. Basically, the patients have a genetic have the genes that predispose them to the autoimmune disease, and then a trigger happens that activates these genes. And this trigger could be anything from stress to medication, vaccine, pregnancy, trauma. A lot of times we don't figure out what the trigger is, but the trigger happens and these genes become active in the body and they produce proteins and substances that confuse the immune system. So immune system goes up in our body confused, and wherever it goes in our body, we name the disease. So if it goes to the small joints of the hands and the feet, we call it rheumatoid arthritis. If it goes to the skin, causes a rash in the face and the joints and other involvements, we call it lupus. If it goes to our blood vessels in the organs and cause problems, we call it vasculitis.
So these are different diseases. I'm trying to choose my word carefully. These are different diseases that have the same cause, or they just have the same. Explain more about that.
Yes.
They don't have the same cause.
No, they don't have the same cause. But if you want, the concept is the same. So you have a genetic predisposition, a trigger, and then an immune system that goes confused and goes and affect your own body. But there are different diseases because the gene that gets affected is different. Part of the immune system that goes up is different. And the part of the body that gets affected is different.
So take one of them that you just mentioned, lupus, for instance.
Right.
Do people who have a family member with lupus then, are they guaranteed to get lupus? Because I heard you say it might be in your genes.
Yeah, no, it's not guaranteed. You could carry the gene or the predisposition for lupus all your life, but you could not don't necessarily going to get the disease, lupus. So having a family member with an autoimmune disease like lupus doesn't mean you're going to get lupus.
And that's the second thing you talked about. You have to have some insult that brings it.
Correct. On. You have to have some sort of a trigger that causes the gene to declare itself in the body and then the disease develops. And we're still trying to understand all of this. The immune system is a very complex system. And the more we learn about it, the more it sounds more complex, and there's more pathways that we still don't know about and we're trying to discover. And that's why it's hard to find a cure for autoimmune diseases, because we're still in the process of discovering the immune system.
That was, you know, I've learned already in these first 3 minutes because I've learned something. Because when patients talk to me and I say, you've got an, what's causing my problem? I'll say, well, that's an autoimmune disease, which pretty much means I don't know. I don't know why you got it. I'm not sure if anybody does. But what you have already illuminated a little bit for me is that you might have a genetic predisposition. Some triggers it off in you, and then your immune system gets confused. That is a great explanation of what's going on in autoimmune diseases. So let's talk a little bit more about diagnosis. Since they're all such a different spectrum of diseases, how do you go about how do people show up in your office, and how do you diagnose these kinds of diseases?
That's a great question. Diagnosing an autoimmune disease is a bit challenging because the diagnosis depends on a few things. Number one, we have to take a very good history from the patient and review all of the systems of the body with the patient. So we have to get a very good history, a very good physical exam, and then a blood test and sometimes x-rays. The combination of the history taking, the physical exam, the tests will give you a diagnosis. Sometimes we're sure what is the diagnosis, and sometimes, to be honest with you, we're kind of thinking this is 90% what it is, but we can't say for sure. And that's part of autoimmune disease, is there's that gray zone where patients are, that they're at risk, or maybe they have it. And that's challenging for rheumatologists. But the diagnosis is really clinical.
It's clinical. There's not just one blood test or one number that you can look at, is there?
No. So, and sometimes we see patients with abnormal blood tests, but they don't have the disease, and we tell the patient that they're at risk of developing it in the future. So having a blood test for an autoimmune disease doesn't mean the patient has the disease. So it has to be the history, the physical exam, and the test all together to make a diagnosis.
So if people are being told, oh, you have a rheumatoid factor or you have this antibody, it doesn't necessarily mean you have one of these diseases, which we will get into in a little bit more. So you're kind of a cerebral specialty then. You've got patients coming in who probably almost all of them have seen their primary doctor and they've got some kind of symptoms, real symptoms, joint pain, fatigue, rashes, things like that. And their primary doctor, well, I've been there, so I know. You kind of shrugged your shoulders after a while and says, why don't you see Dr. Nasser next? That's the good next step because you know, there isn't just one blood test and there isn't just one, like your blood pressure. It's easy. It's a number we can kind of look at and see if it's abnormal or not. I want to talk about some more specific types of autoimmune diseases, but they sort of overlap a little bit. Rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, the two of them. That's not the only two, but just take those two. Joint pain. They both have joint pain. So how do you distinguish between those?
Right. So rheumatoid arthritis, patients develop pain and swelling in the joints. And most patients have a typical pattern of which joints are involved. So usually it's the knuckles of the hands, the knuckles of the feet, elbows and wrists. And it's a symmetric joint pain involvement. Most patients with rheumatoid arthritis, it's pain and swelling in the joints. But actually, I prefer to call it rheumatoid disease because some patients, in addition to involvement of the joints, they get inflammation in the eyes, in the skin, in the lung, and the blood vessels. But it's not the common involvement. So it's mostly joints, but you could have other organs involved in about, 10 to 20% of patients.
So rheumatoid arthritis, mostly joints, not all, right. Smaller joints, both sides of your body.
Correct. That's the most common presentation.
Okay.
But you could have inflammation in your lungs, yeah. You could have inflammation in the eyes or in the blood vessels in the skin.
Okay, we're going to talk more. We're going to take a break. Is that right?
Yep.
We're going to talk more about rheumatoid arthritis and lupus, and we're going to answer your calls and texts as well.
And our phone number is 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. We'll take this break and be back with more Healthy Matters. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of Healthy Matters this morning. Next week, we'll be back to normal with the time-wise, but we'll be on with Healthy Matters till 9 this morning. So if you'd like to call in, ask your question, or send a text, we'll be here till just about 9 o'clock. Here again is Dr. David Hilden.
Thank you, Denny. So we're talking about autoimmune diseases with Dr. Rawad Nasser, Director of Rheumatology at Hennepin Healthcare. So we talked a little bit about rheumatoid arthritis. How does that differ from, let's say, lupus?
Yes. Patients with lupus, they present with not just pain and swelling in the joints. In addition to that, they usually come with a rash on their face or in their body. Also, they can have mouth sores, sores in the nose, and sometimes they present with chest pain or belly pain. So it's more than just pain and swelling in the joints upon presentation to the clinic or to the hospital. They have usually more symptoms with it, specifically the skin, the rashes and the mouth sores. And then sometimes in severe cases, they present with their kidneys failing because inflammation is involved in their kidneys. So lupus presentation is different from rheumatoid arthritis, is that it's not just the joints, it's other organs upon presentation.
Is inflammation the problem or a feature of both of those and of other rheumatologic conditions?
Inflammation is a feature. What happens is the immune system goes to the organ and causes inflammation. So the white blood cells in our body, which are usually the cells that protect us from infections, they become confused and they affect part of the body. Let's say the joints. The white blood cells go to the joints, confused, and they go cause inflammation in the joints. So inflammation is the feature of the immune system being confused. It's the manifestation of that.
And in rheumatoid arthritis, what you're saying is that those white cells and inflammation go to the joints. Why would they go to the joints and not say, you know, my, you know, somewhere else?
Exactly. And that's the biggest question for rheumatologists and immunologists. And what we discover is that there's always some proteins in the organ, let's say the joints. There's like a protein from the immune system in the joint that is up there and calling for these white blood cells to come. Why is that exactly? I think we're still not certain, because and that's why we have these diseases. Like in lupus, it's the skin calling the immune system, come and be inflamed here, and the joints and the kidneys, while in rheumatoid arthritis, it's just the joint. We still don't know exactly why, and I think that's part of why it's hard at this stage of rheumatology to find a cure for the disease.
Yeah, and I do want to, listeners, we're going to talk about some of the newer agents. So they are the ones that dominate commercials on TV now about drugs. Ask your doctor if such and such is right for you. Well, Dr. Nasser is the doctor who prescribes some of those medications, so we're going to ask him about some of the latest treatments for autoimmune diseases. We're going to do that in the second half of the show, so stay with us if you want to hear about some of those treatments. What about in your biography, it says that you have an interest in vasculitis. I am almost sure that in 10 years of Healthy Matters on the air, we haven't talked about vasculitis. I'm not sure, but I don't think we have. What is vasculitis? We've talked about RA, rheumatoid arthritis. We've talked about lupus. What is vasculitis?
So vasculitis is inflammation of the blood vessels, and specifically the blood vessel wall, which and the interesting part is blood vessels are in all parts of our body, in all organs of our body. And there's multiple types of vasculitis, again, depending on the organ involved. It is an autoimmune disease. So again, the immune system is confused and it goes to the blood vessel in a certain organ and cause inflammation. And there's, as I said, there's multiple types of vasculitis. And for example, there's ANCA-positive vasculitis, where the immune system goes to the blood vessels in the kidneys. So you have inflammation in the kidneys and it goes to the lungs and the sinuses. And patients with lupus or rheumatoid arthritis could have vasculitis, inflammation of the blood vessels, but it's not the presenting symptom in these patients.
How the heck would I know if I have inflammation of my blood vessels? Now, you're talking about, like, right, in this case, of my kidneys or my lungs. How would I know?
So patients usually present to us, their kidney function is reduced. The kidneys are not working as they should be. They have renal failure. Or they come in with shortness of breath and chest pain and sometimes coughing up blood. We do a biopsy of the kidney or sometimes biopsy of the lung, and we discover there's inflammation in the blood vessels that's causing these symptoms. So usually patients with vasculitis are sick. But sometimes also it could be localized to the skin, and we do a skin biopsy. So most vasculitis are diagnosed by biopsy of the tissue of the organ involved. For example, if you have inflammation in the skin, we biopsy, we see the inflammation in the blood vessels in the skin. And the kidneys the same, and the lungs the same, and the sinus. And again, depending on which organ is involved, we name the type of the vasculitis. It's a challenging disease in diagnosis and in treatment.
And we're going to talk a lot more in the second half show about autoimmune diseases, including rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, vasculitis. We're going to take some phone calls and texts. Denny, do we have time before the break to take any calls?
I think we should probably wait.
Okay.
And I want to alert our listeners that we'll be picking up on phone calls and text messages in the next half hour. Healthy Matters on this morning until just about 9 o'clock. So there's time for your calls and text yet straight ahead. 651-9. Text is 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome to this portion of Hennepin County's Healthy Matters. I want to remind our listeners, Dr. Hilden, that this is a little unusual because of our public service program earlier this morning. We'll be back next week. We're going to be on the air this morning till 9, but next week back to normal from 7:30 to 8:30.
So I can't sleep in an extra half hour next week?
I'm sorry. Back to normal.
I got to say, that was the that's the only time in the last 10 years I've got to
I got to sleep
in a half an hour. Thank you, WCCO. Hey, if you are listening to the show and you're wondering, you're all discombobulated because we're on a half hour late, you can always listen to the podcast. Go to myhealthymatters.org and listen to podcasts of this or any previous show. I want to alert people to that as well. Also, one more thing before we get back into lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and the like is this Saturday on the 15th is our last education series. I'm sorry, I stumbled there. Our last education series at the clinic and specialty center in downtown Minneapolis. This is our Here for Health series. The first two sessions were darn near sold out. I mean, it was standing room only. There are a few spots left for the last session, which is Saturday, this coming Saturday, September 15th in downtown Minneapolis in the Hennepin Healthcare's beautiful clinic and specialty center. The topics for the last session are going to be heart health, breast health, and physical therapy. We are going to have a female focus on it, but it is not just for women. We're going to have Dr. Michelle Carlson is one of our cardiologists who's going to talk a little bit about women's heart health, but not exclusively about women. Breast health is going to be, you know, focused on women, but men, that's something you should hear about as well. And then physical therapy. So women, if you're having trouble with ambulation, maybe with arthritis, we're going to have physical therapists there. These sessions are free. You heard me right. They are free. Parking is free. It's underground. You take the elevator directly to the session. It couldn't be easier. To register, go to HennepinHealthcare.org/hereforhealth. HennepinHealthcare.org/hereforhealth. And if you just go to the main HennepinHealthcare.org page, you're going to see my face on there. You can just click that as well. Okay, back to rheumatology with Dr. Rawad Nasser, the Director of Rheumatology and Hennepin Healthcare. We've been talking about autoimmune diseases, which include things like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, vasculitis. We have lots of text messages and some calls. I do want to make sure we don't forget to talk about the biologics and some treatments. But I thought we'd maybe do a few of these calls. Is that okay with you, Rawad?
Yes, absolutely.
And thanks for being back on the show, by the way. Maybe we'll take Elaine's call
first. All right,
first.
Let's do that. Elaine, Brooklyn Park, go ahead, Elaine, with your question, please.
Yes, hi, Dr. Hilgen. About 15 months ago, I'm 75, about 15 months ago, I started getting watery eyes, red all around my eyes, swelling in my ankles, extreme eye light sensitivity, loss of energy and appetite, nothing I had ever experienced before. I knew something was wrong. I went to two eye specialists in two different clinics. I went to an internist with all of this happening. They all said I had an allergy. I've never been allergic to anything in my life. I went to an allergist. He said, "You aren't allergic to one thing, but I think you have a thyroid problem."
Oh.
And I was shocked. I went back to my internist. He said, "You went to the best allergist there is." He said, "I will check you out." I ended up having an MRI that verified it. I ended up seeing a specialist at the University of Minnesota. I had a mild reaction. I did have thyroid eye disease, and I'm on selenium, and my journey was unbelievable.
Yeah, Elaine, thank you for your story. One of the things that it struck me about that is the lengthy time patients have symptoms before you come up with, or the system comes up with a diagnosis. And what I particularly like is that you went to an allergist and he or she told you don't have an allergy. That's like going to a barber and saying you don't need a haircut. You go to a barber and they're holding a scissors and they say they can't do anything for you. I love it, actually, because that's an honest allergy doctor. Dr. Nasser, when this sounds like a patient you'd get. Elaine sounds like a patient who would come into you with a number of, I'll say non-specific complaints. They're specific to her, but they don't point to a specific diagnosis. Her legs are swollen, her eyes hurt, she's got great fatigue. That sounds like something you would see.
Absolutely. A lot of time we see patients with multiple complaints and different symptoms, like in this case, the eyes and the swelling in the ankles. And sometimes we diagnose patients with autoimmune diseases that we deal with in rheumatology, like rheumatoid arthritis, vasculitis, sarcoidosis, etc., vasculitis. And sometimes our job is to say you don't have a rheumatologic condition, but you have an autoimmune disease or a problem in another organ like thyroid disease.
Is thyroid disease autoimmune?
Parts of it is. Some of it is autoimmune. Yes, there is autoimmune thyroiditis, autoimmune inflammation of the thyroid gland. But again, each case is different. But a lot of times we see patients in our clinic and we do diagnose them with thyroid disease or with non-rheumatologic disease, and then we refer them to the correct specialist. So this is very common, not very common, but it is common. In our practice, too.
Elaine, I'm glad you got a diagnosis because most thyroid disease is quite treatable. Thank you for your call, by the way. Another kind of related question about what isn't rheumatology but could be an autoimmune disease is what about type 1 diabetes? This is from a listener. Is type 1 diabetes sometimes thought to be an autoimmune disease, and does it have a viral trigger? I know you're a rheumatologist.
So I'm a rheumatologist. I'm biased. I personally believe that all diseases are autoimmune diseases.
But, okay. but a hangnail. How about that?
But not all of them. But
I know what you mean.
Some of them. Yeah, but yes. I mean, like thyroid disease, as I said, it's an autoimmune disease. Type 1 diabetes could have some autoimmune background to it too. And sometimes we see autoimmune inflammation of the eye. Although there's no lupus, there's no vasculitis in other parts. It's just inflammation
just
in the eye. And we end up treating, especially if it's a persistent eye problem or a recurrent eye problem, we end up treating with some of the medications that we use to suppress change the immune system a little bit so that the inflammation in the eye stops. So sometimes we see patients with inflammation in one organ, like the eye or the thyroid, that do not fit into a big systemic disease like lupus or vasculitis. And we do try to help the patients as much as we can with trying to, some treatments that could help. So the answer to question, yes, I think there's a lot of diseases outside the rheumatology that are autoimmune diseases. And a lot of times they end up in our clinic, especially when a question about treatment comes up with the specialist.
I want to ask you about some treatment. You said at the top of the show that it is probable that people get autoimmune diseases because they had a genetic susceptibility. First of all, you were born with something in your gene that made you susceptible, and then you had a trigger in your life that kind of launched the process. Doesn't it make sense then, in the future of medical treatment of autoimmune diseases, that we should target the gene that is causing this? Is that a fair statement? What do you respond to that, if you could?
Well, first, I want just to clarify. So you could either be born with the gene that you inherited, from your parents or the family, but also your gene mutate as you live. So sometimes this is the first person in the family who has this autoimmune disease because the gene changed or got a gene mutation, we call it, where the gene changed for some reason during lifetime. But yes, gene therapy, I think, is definitely something that is worth considering in autoimmune disease. And I think there's a lot of research going on about genetic therapy. I think, in my understanding, my knowledge so far with genetic therapy is we know it's trying to be tested in humans to see what are, because remember, with any therapy or medication, there's potential side effects, obviously. So you have to make sure it's a safe way of treating diseases. But yes, gene therapy, to answer your question, is one of the one of the therapies that are being looked at for autoimmune disease.
We're going to talk more about therapies, including the biologic medications, after the break. We also have quite a few listener questions that we're going to get to. So thanks for joining us. We're talking to Dr. Rawad Nasser about rheumatology today.
And again, we'll be back to a normal start time of around 7:30 next week because of our special programming earlier this morning. And good morning. Welcome back to this Sunday edition of Healthy Matters. Again, back next week, normal time, 7:30 to 8:30. Here again is Dr. Hilden.
So, Dr. Nasser, I want to talk, go through some text messages, but in 60 seconds, I want to talk about biologics. All those drugs you hear about on TV, most of them are prescribed by you. What are all the new treatments for these autoimmune diseases? All these things that end in print syllables you can't pronounce on TV.
So, you know, I think, you know, let's talk about rheumatoid arthritis treatment. So there were, you know, medications in the past for rheumatoid arthritis that we still use these days. For example, methotrexate, which is not a biologic. And the struggle with treating rheumatoid arthritis is preventing damage to the joints and deformities until biologics came in. And biologics, the word biologic means how the medication is manufactured or produced. And that's why it's called a biologic. But the effect of biologic on a disease like rheumatoid arthritis is when you add it to the traditional medication like methotrexate, which remains a medication we prescribe for rheumatoid arthritis, is that it prevents damage to joints and prevents the deformities and crippling in the joints that affects the disease. As well, there's evidence that it decreases the risk of getting heart attacks and strokes from disease, because there's evidence that when you have an autoimmune inflammatory condition like rheumatoid arthritis, you're at higher risk of getting heart attacks and strokes and so forth. And by treating the inflammation more aggressively with biologics in addition to traditional treatment, you decrease that risk of getting heart attacks and strokes. But the mainstay or the breakthrough of biologics in rheumatoid arthritis in particular is it decreased the percentage of patients who develop crippling and deformity in their joints, in addition, of course, of helping the patient with their pain and swelling in the joints and able to function and able to do the things they like to do.
Thank you. I'm going to go to the text messages now, and we're going to try to do like a lightning round here. There are two text messages about this condition. How does Sjogren's syndrome fit into autoimmune disease, and what's the best treatment? There are two text messages about Sjogren's. That's, for listeners, S-J-O-G-R-E-N.
Great question. Sjogren's disease is an autoimmune inflammatory condition. And the immune system in Sjogren's disease, it goes to the salivary glands. So it causes inflammation in the salivary glands. So the patient can't have a lot of saliva in the mouth, so they develop dry mouth. And then it goes to the glands that produce tears in the eyes, and it causes inflammation in those glands, and you don't have enough tears. So you get dry eyes, dry mouth. In addition to that, you could have pain and swelling in the joints, or you could have pain in your whole body. Also, fatigue is a feature of the disease, and it could involve multiple organs like the skin. You can get dry skin. You can have some inflammation in the kidneys and sometimes in the lung. But the most common symptoms are dry eyes and dry mouth.
And so when is that a problem? I know a lot of people say, yeah, my eyes are dry. I put drops in them all the time. When do they see you?
Dry eyes, although it seems like, you know, you just have dry eyes. Dry eyes is a debilitating symptom for the patient. Having dry eyes and dry mouth
it's an important, a big serious problem. You could have Sjogren's.
Oh yes, and patients, and there are other reasons other than Sjogren's that causes dry eyes and dry mouth. Obviously, like medications, for example, they could cause dry eyes, dry mouth. But the symptom itself, I know it's not an internal organ involvement, but the patient really gets affected by it. We do not have a FDA-approved medication for Sjogren's. Unfortunately, all the studies about biologics have failed to reach a threshold where 80% of patients or 90% of patients get better. But we do have some treatments for the dry eyes that are focused on the eye, like eye drops, multiple eye drops and new eye drops coming on the market, also for the mouth. And there are some medications that we use off-label after discussion with the patient about to treat the disease as a whole. And in some patients it works, and some patients it doesn't.
Next question from the text line. Is there a correlation between rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia?
So fibromyalgia is not autoimmune. To our knowledge at this point, it's not an autoimmune inflammatory condition. Fibromyalgia is a disease where the nerves in the skin becomes more sensitive to touch, and they send quick pain messages to the brain. Also, the substances that control pain in the brain become imbalanced. But fibromyalgia, we see it in patients who have rheumatoid arthritis, in patients who have lupus or Sjogren's disease. So you could have rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia, or Sjogren's and fibromyalgia. Are they a cause-effect relationship? No, but there is a percentage of patients. Yep, exactly.
Let's go back to the phones. I think Vicky is calling from Blaine with a question. Go ahead with your question, Vicky.
When the doctor said triggers can cause rheumatoid arthritis, does he mean anything emotional?
So, a lot of times in autoimmune disease, we cannot figure out a trigger. But yes, stress emotional stress, you know, stress at work, stress in the family life. Stress on the body definitely could trigger autoimmune diseases. We cannot prove it, obviously, by a test.
It makes some sense.
It makes some sense, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, you could be have a gene, or you could have RA, and you could be under extreme stressors in your life, and there could be some connection to your physical inflammation.
Absolutely. We see a lot of patients with flare-up of lupus, and they say, you know, this last month has been a stressful month for me at work or at in the family, and that my disease is flaring up, and then objectively on exam they are. Now, that doesn't mean every stressful event will trigger an autoimmune disease, but stress is one of the factors that could trigger a flare-up of the autoimmune disease or the autoimmune disease itself.
Vicky, that's a terrific question. Thank you for that call. Here's back to the text line. My husband was just diagnosed with polymyalgia rheumatica by a rheumatologist after an exam and blood test. He has been on prednisone regimen for a week. Some days he is pain-free, but other days he's in extreme pain. Is this normal?
So polymyalgia rheumatica is an autoimmune inflammatory condition. It causes inflammation in the hips and the shoulders and causes for the patient symptoms of stiffness and pain and weakness, subjective weakness. So prednisone is the treatment. And with polymyalgia rheumatica, we give prednisone. And sometimes the patient gets better the next day. Sometimes it takes 2 to 4 weeks. Most patients get better within a few days of starting prednisone. The key is the prednisone dosage. So, you know, they should be around prednisone 20 milligrams a day, because sometimes we see patients, we start them at 15, but they really need 20. So if this persists where some days feeling good, some days not so good, we could reconsult with the rheumatologist if we should increase the dose of prednisone. But as I said, sometimes it takes 2 to 3 weeks, even with a good dose of prednisone, to get the symptoms.
But your goal is to have no pain
exactly.
days, correct?
Exactly. With polymyalgia rheumatica, with the prednisone dose we prescribe, you should have zero pain at some point, unless you have another condition causing the pain other than polymyalgia rheumatica.
We are out of time. That was a fast hour. Thank you to everybody for listening on our little half-hour delay. It's been a good show. And my special thanks to Dr. Rawad Nasser, the chief of rheumatology at Hennepin Healthcare. You can see Dr. Nasser or his colleagues simply by calling us at 612-873-6963. That's 612-873-6963. Or be sure to check us out at myhealthymatters.org.
We'll be back to our normal time next week at 7:30 or so with...
We'll do an open lines show.
All right, join us then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.